Jeremiah chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 17. Back in the 1930s, people would ask the question, "How is your back?" The reason why people would ask that question is because people would work so hard they'd have back problems. Today, the question that folks would ask would be this question: "How is your heart?" Today in America, heart disease is a major problem in the population of America today. It's the number one cause of death for men and women. They say that approximately 630,000 people die each year from heart disease. They say that's one out of every four people die of that. The Bible has a lot to say about the heart. Poems have been written about it. Songs have been written about it. Songs about hearts being broken, being lonely, being hardened, being mended, being played with, or they have a mind of their own. The heart's been given romantic definitions. It's been given philosophical definitions. It's been given literary definitions. But the Bible has a lot to say about our heart, and we need to get to the heart of the matter, no pun intended. Now, first of all, tonight I want to say this, and I'm not talking about the heart as a vital organ of our body that pumps blood throughout our body. The Bible describes the heart as the citadel of man, the seat and the dearest treasures of our affections. It's described as the mind. It's described as the center of thinking and the center of reason. It's a place where emotions evolve and the will is exercised. It's the source of all decisions, of all wisdom. It is the depository of all effects of speech and conduct that we have. And it's the very source of everything that we have as human beings. And what does Jeremiah have to say about the heart here in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 9? Let's look at it real quickly. Jeremiah writes, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Notice, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, if we had time to dive into this chapter tonight, you could find out that really it's talking a lot about the heart. In verses 1 and 2, it's talking about a divided heart. In verses 3 through 4, it's talking about a departed heart. In verses 7 8, it's talking about a devoted heart. In verse number 9, we just read, it's talking about a deceitful heart. So the Bible has a lot to say about the heart. Proverbs, Solomon said this about the heart. He said, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil." Now, not only can heart disease cause us a lot of trouble physically, but tonight I want us to look at it from a different aspect and see how much heart disease can harm us and affect us spiritually. Jesus tells us that the heart is a repository for good and evil, and that what comes out of it, whether good or bad, comes out of our mouth, and it begins in the heart. The Bible says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And we often ask ourselves today within the church of why is there a watering down of the gospel? Why is there a weakening of our view of sin, and that we look at sin and we kind of turn our back to it. We say, "Oh, that doesn't apply today." Still, sin is sin in the eyes of God, no matter whether it's a little sin or a big sin. Sin is still in the eyes of God. And why do we see a worldly attitude when it comes to living a holy life and see what God's emotions and desires are? Because God has a heart, and we are made in His image. In fact, God said that David was a man after God's own heart. And when God measures a person, whether it's a man, a woman, teenager, boy, or girl, He puts a tape around his heart, not around his head. So tonight I want us to look at the heart of the matter being the matter of the heart. And I want us to look at the problem of the heart. Secondly, I want us to look at the prescription of the heart. And third, real quickly, I want us to look at the pursuit of the heart. First of all, I want us to look at the problem of the heart. We just saw it here in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, where it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" First, we see here is we see the ultimate deceptiveness of the heart. What does it say? It is deceitful above what? All things. Now, Proverbs 28, 26 tells us, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." You know, Jesus pointed out the fallen condition of our hearts in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, when he said this, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And he says this, all these evils come from where? Within. And what do? They defile the man. The psalmist said, "My heart within me is desperate. It's desolate." John Owen said this, "It's not enough to watch our circumstances to detect the times of temptation. We must also watch our heart to know when temptation might approach us." You know, we're so watchful at times of trying to stay out of temptation and wait until temptation gets up right to us until we make a decision. But listen, we need to make sure that we're looking at temptation from a long view and keeping our heart away from it. It's very important that we do. We can see why, because we have an evil heart. We have a deceitful heart. And why is it deceitful? It's deceitful because of its very nature. Why is that? Because we were born sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. The Bible says that that a heart is deceitful above all things. That's ultimate deceitfulness. I heard the story about a man one day that hit another man's parked car. The offender got out of his car and began to write a little note. The note said that he wrote this: "Everybody looking at me right now thinks I'm giving you my name, my telephone number, my address, and my insurance information. But I'm not. Good luck." What deceitfulness. You know, if we took time, we could see in Jeremiah chapter 2, this whole chapter, that Judah had sinned. They were in idol worship and child sacrifice. They were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, which was an idolatrous false religion god. And then Josiah comes and he tries to start a revival in the land. And as he does that, there's a lot of outward evidences of revival, but guess what? There wasn't an inward evidence of revival. Why? Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's deceitful by nature. But not only is it deceitful by nature, but it's also deceitful by choice. By choice. Look in verse 5. The Bible says, verse number 5, look in chapter 17. It says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Our hearts are evil. And I'm so interested, it's interesting to me sometimes how many people, just the thoughts and ideas that come out of people's heart. Some people think that they can get away with their sin. And let me tell you something, we can't get away with our sin. Why? Because God is omniscient. He's all omnipresent. He's everywhere, and He sees the good and the bad. He knows everything we do, and we can't hide anything from Him. Isn't it in the heart that the believer says to himself, "Well, hey, I'm going to be blessed, even though what I can do, anything that I want, I'm going to be blessed." But folks, let me tell you this. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. You can't do it. It's in the heart that cheats men and women. So we see not only is it the heart is deceitful by nature, but it's also deceitful by choice. But not only is it ultimately, but it's also desperately wicked. Did you see that? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. One translate that, it means it's incurably sick. There's nothing that we do to help the desperate wickedness of the heart. And the heart is often alluded to within the Scriptures as our conscience. And what does the Bible say? That we can dull our conscience, can't we? One author wrote this, and he said this very well. Sin and the devil will always find helpers in our heart. And that's true. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why did I do that? Where did that thought come from? Why did I do what I did? Let me tell you why. It's because our hearts are desperately wicked. I've had thoughts before, and it's come to me, I'm saying, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Have you ever had that before? I sure have. Why am I doing this sin? Why? Because our hearts is deceitful. Jeremiah goes on to say later, you walk everyone after the imaginations of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. We see how it's ultimately deceitful and how it's desperately wicked. But let me go ahead and give you this too. The heart is infinitely elusive. It's infinite, elusive. One man translated like this, who can perceive our hearts? Who can understand? Who can be acquainted with his own heart and his own mind? Have you ever heard this phrase before, follow your heart? It's out there a lot, isn't it? But the heart Bible tells us that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Folks, we should not be following our heart. We ought to be following the heart of the Lord. We ought to be following His heart. So first of all, we need to see the problem of the heart. Second of all, we need to see the prescription for the heart. Now, I like this. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, we have a very, probably most of us know this verse in Proverbs 4, 23. And what does it say? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what? The issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does that mean? Keep it means to guard it, that we are to protect it. And folks, let me tell you something. Now, if we're gonna help us with the problem of the heart, first of all, we got to keep our heart and protect it and guard it through the issues of life. He refers to guarding it here. Paul said later on, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The Bible tells us that our thoughts often dictate what we become. And it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So the heart of man reflects who we really are, who you really are. Not simply by our actions and by our words, but what we do. And that is why God examines the heart of a man. And not simply his outward appearance, but what's inside. What's inside? Why? Because it's a prescription of the heart. Now we've heard of different diseases like arteriosclerosis, which is a hardening of the arteries. But doesn't God say not to harden our hearts? I'm so amazed at how many Christians have just hardened their hearts to things of God, to doing what God wants them to do. I've heard people say, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. You know what? You're hardening your heart. It's exactly what you're doing. Guarding against a rebellious spirit and cultivating a spirit of submissive obedience to God's word. That is the first step of guarding our heart. Then we have heart murmurs, which is an abnormal flow pattern due to faulty heart valves. But you know what? We have spiritual heart murmurs as well. That occurs when we as believers engage in complaining and gossiping and disputing and contentions. And we as believers are told many times in Scriptures that we aren't to grumble and we're not to murmur and we're not to complain. Let me tell you something. There's one thing that the children of Israel were very guilty of, And that way we're guilty of a complaining attitude. They complained about everything. And by engaging these, listen, what do we do when we're complaining? We're taking our focus off the one that needs our focus need to be upon. And who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to keep the focus on the Lord and on His Word. Why? Because if we don't, the Bible says this, without faith it is what? Impossible to see Him. When we're not keeping God as the focus, we're not having faith in God, and He is not pleased with us because we are not living by faith. And then we have congestive heart failure, and that's the inability of the heart to successfully pump blood through the body. There are some spiritual equivalents to that as well. Anger, giving in to temptation, pride. Anger, I hope that you know this, but anger acts as a poison, both to the body, to the soul, and to the spirit. Ephesians tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking what? Be put away with you, be put away from you with all what? Malice. And listen, we could get into every sin because every sin is wrong in the eyes of God. But listen, guarding your heart is more about feeding your soul than avoiding your sin. Because if you avoid, if you feed your soul, if you keep your focus on the Lord and doing His will, you won't have problems with the sin. Why? Because the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. We teach that in RU all the time. And Paul said this in Philippians, whatsoever thing are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what did it say? Think. Where does our thinking come from? It comes from our heart. Think on these things. Let me tell you something. You can tell real quickly about your prescription of the heart whether you're living by the lust of the flesh or you're living by the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, when you get sick spiritually, what comes out? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. Or what comes out? The flesh, anger, wrath, malice. Taking it out on somebody else. You can tell real quickly where your heart is by what comes out your mouth. Because didn't we just read it a while ago? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We've seen the problem of the heart. We've seen the prescription of the heart. Let me give you the last thing real quickly and we'll be done. The pursuit of the heart. The pursuit of the heart. You know, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And what is the heart of the matter? Did you notice back in Jeremiah chapter 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Did you notice this? Who can know it? Who can know it? I can tell you somebody who knows it. You know who that is? God, the great physician that wants to do a heart transplant on you and me. When our hearts are not when it's where it's supposed to be and doing what it's supposed to be, God knows our heart. And not only has He given us the problem and the prescription, but He's also given us the pursuit of the heart. And what is it? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now we've already distinguished David as a man after God's own heart. And to understand why David was a man after God's own heart, we need to see some of the characteristics that he had. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And notice what it says in Acts 13, 22. And it says this. Listen, I've never caught this before, and then the Holy Spirit just showed me this. He says this, which shall fulfill all my will. Which shall fulfill all my will? Let me ask you a question tonight. Is your desire to fulfill God's will? Or is it your will? Because tonight, there is a throne in your heart. And somebody is sitting on that throne. It's either you or it's God. And you make that choice every day who's going to sit on the throne of your heart. Now, God wants to sit on that throne. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Savior. 1 John 3:20, I think, is so apparent for this point. It says this: for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. That's something to get excited about, folks. Why? Because of my evil heart, God is greater than my heart. I love the verse. Greater is He that is in me than he that is what? In the world. Who sits on the throne of your heart tonight? Some of you may need to have a heart transplant. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight, God wants to give you a new heart. A new heart. Some of you tonight may have a hardened heart. You may have a diseased heart. You may have a deceived heart. If you do, let God give you a new heart. God is in the transplant business, and He wants to give you His heart. And folks, listen, it's not about our sins, it's about our Savior. And our focus is not on the problem, even though so many times we focus all on our problem. Our focus really isn't on the prescription. Our focus really ought to be on the pursuit of our heart, and that's toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say all you want to about David, but David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because his heart was pointed toward God. Is your heart pointed to the Lord tonight? If it isn't, give it back. Let Him give you a new heart. Let Him say what John said: if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank You so much for this evening. Thank You so much for the shed blood of Your Son. Thank You that He died for our sins. And Lord, that we can have a new heart that You can cleanse. I'm so thankful that You've taken our sins and You've thrown them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. Lord, give us new hearts tonight.